seeing that this week is Hanukkah, decided to, for a change, instead of speaking on the Sedra of the week, which is Miketz, we'll say something about Hanukkah. There's a very interesting difference that we have between our two holidays, Chagim, that are Durabanan, and that is Hanukkah and Purim. We see that Hanukkah and Purim are totally opposites, the opposites ends of the spectrum. Hanukkah is a very ruchani, very spiritual type of chag, and Purim, on the other hand, is very physical. How so? Hanukkah, the old gzera of the Greeks was what? Not to kill us. The gzera was a spiritual gzera, lashkicham torasecha. It was in to have us, to try to make us forget our Torah. In fact, some yeshivas, they believe in giving their bachram off during Hanukkah, is to remember, you know, in order to remember the zecher, what the Greeks tried to do, lashkicham torasecha, so they give them off on Hanukkah. Anyways, so the whole gzera was a spiritual type of a gzera. Where was it? It was in Eretz Yisrael, the most spiritual place in the world. The reason why the gzera happened, the Greeks, was because of our nisrashlu bavoda, the Bach says, that we were lax in our avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, also spirituality. After the victory, what did we do? Hallel, Hoda, which we do today, say Al-Anisim, right? We thank Hashem, we praise Hashem. All these things are things of the heart, also spiritual things. And not only that, there's nothing physical, we don't read, it's not written anywhere. In fact, they point out that Hanukkah isn't even mentioned in the Mishnah. It's mentioned incidentally as a side thing a couple of places, but there's no Mishnah that talks about Hanukkah, describing, you know, about the Gemara talking, but there's no Mishnah anywhere discussing Hilchas Hanukkah anywhere. Right? Again, it's not even written down. It's everything is Baal Peh, everything, the whole thing is spiritual from beginning to end. Interestingly enough, though, when we look at Purim, totally opposite in all the things. First of all, Gzera, right? Gzera was not a ruchni, it was a physical Gzera, right? Lahashmi, Larav, Lava, they wanted to physically destroy us. Secondly, where was it? Where did this happen? Also in a not spiritual place. It was in Chutz La'aretz, the Purim story, right? What was the reason for the Gzera? As we said by Hanukkah, was our lack of being lax in Avoda. There by Purim, what was it? It was that we were nene from the Suda of Achashverosh, right? Physical. We ate at his Suda. And also, the result. What did we do when we were to represent the victory? Mishnah v'simcha. We eat, we drink, physical, everything physical. And it is written down. We have a whole Megillah that we read, written on the cloth and ink on a cloth. Something physical. The whole Purim is physicality. Okay, fine. So very good. So we have. The Hanukkah was exer against our neshamas, the spiritual, and Purim, physical. So there, everything by Hanukkah is spirituality, whereas Purim is physical. Good. So what's the kasha? The kasha is the reaction. The reaction that we took in both these situations. Okay? One would think, well, okay, so Hanukkah, since it was a spiritual thing, our reaction should be spiritual, right? Davening, fasting, whatever. And by Purim, which is a very physical thing, our reaction should have been physical. Go out there and fight. Meanwhile, it was the opposite, right? What do we see by Hanukkah? What did we do? War! We wage war against the Yavanim. Physical war. That was our reaction. When it comes to Purim, and there's a gzeir of Haman, what did we do? Some, right, they're fasting and for 3 days and davening it, spirituality. So it doesn't match. Everything along the way, we saw Hanukkah being the spiritual, Purim being the physical. The only one thing that doesn't fit into the whole puzzle is the reaction. So why is it then that by Hanukkah, which was spiritual, there we came out fighting physically, and by Purim, which was a physical holiday concept, there we fasted and we davened. That's a very nice answer from this little booklet from put out by Rav Yirchmiel Kram. And he wants to say the following. He gives the following mashal. He says, there was once a person who was renting an apartment. And one day, the group in charge of the building, they came to him and they said, we are collecting money. He says, what for? He says, well, there was a leak on the roof and of the building, and we had to tar it, fix it, whatever, and therefore we're collecting from all the tenants, right, each of the people in the building, you know, part their share in fixing the roof. So he got upset, and he goes, that's not fair, right? This renting over here, you know, why should I pay? So they said, don't speak to your landlord, you know, speak to the guy who owns your apartment. He says, okay, I'm going to do that. So he writes him a letter and says, listen, they're fixing the roof and they're charging me this and this and I don't think it's right. And what do you say? Sends the letter. Sure enough, a couple of days later, he gets back an envelope, opens up from his landlord with the check for the amount to pay for the roof. And he says, 100%, you're 100% right. You know, here's the check for the pay for the roof. So the guy is like, that's very, you know, menschlich. That was very nice of him, you know, paying for it. Good. So what does he do? Next day, he gets in the mail his phone bill. So he says, oh, okay. So he writes a letter to his landlord. He says, here's my phone bill for whatever, $200, and I'd appreciate it if you send me a check. And a couple of days later, he has his electric bill, and the same thing. So sends a letter, posts it to his landlord, you know, here's my electric bill for such amount, you know, please send me a check as soon as you can, you know. Needless to say, the landlord calls him and he says, well, what are you doing? He says, well, I don't know, I sent you the bill for the roof and you answered and you sent me a check, it was very nice of you. So now, I thought, hey, great, this is wonderful, I didn't realize such a nice landlord and I'm sending my electric bill, my phone bill, my gas bill, you know, why not? So he says, you fool. He says, there's a big difference. He says, what? He says, the building, that's mine. Okay, I own part of the building, right? I'm the owner of the building. So therefore, when there's something wrong with the building, like the roof, so I pay for it. But your own personal, your own personal benefits that you have, your electric, your phone, whatever, that's you. That's not the building. And therefore, you have to pay for that, not me. He says, that's the mashal. Therefore, he says, so too, Nimshal, now we can understand the reactions in Purim and in Hanukkah, right? The Purim was the gezeira, we said, against the goof, right? The goof belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem created us, our goof is Meshuvah to Kodesh Baruch Hu, belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when there was a gezeira against the goof, so what do? We daven. Because we said, look, Hashem, you know, you're the landlord, you're the boss, our bodies belong to you, and some things as a gzeir against the body, so we daven to Hashem. You know, help us, it's your body, so do something. That's what we daven. Whereas by Chanukah, Stavka, because it was a spiritual gzeir, it was a gzeir against the neshamas, akol bidei shamayim chus meyir shamayim. Right? When it comes to Torah, to mitzvahs, whatever, that's our business. That's what we have to do. Hashem doesn't make us do mitzvahs or averas. That's up to us. That's our free choice. And therefore, since it's us and not Hashem, therefore, not no time to dive into Hashem. We got to go out and fight because that's us. That's the electric bill. That's the phone bill. That's us. Right? We have to therefore take care of this ourselves. Not send a bill to Kodesh Baruch Hu, as it were. And that's why by Hanukkah we came out fighting. Since it was a gezeira against the nefesh. He adds a very interesting thing. He says, with this we can explain a Magen Avraham, that he says that somebody who didn't hear Parshas Amalek, in other words, Parshas Zachar, he said he's not Yotzi if he hears the Parsha in Beshalach, right, the end of Beshalach, it also describes the war against Amalek. He says, you're not Yotzi if you hear that. Why? He says, it's not the same Nusach. Not the same Nusach, right? Different words. So he explains, according to this, we can explain it very nicely. Why? He says, because actually Amalek has both aspects to it. there was, they didn't, it wasn't only a spiritual thing, like Amalek was just interested in converting us, nor was it only a physical thing also. It was a mixture of both. Right? They wanted to curse us, they wanted to get rid of us spiritually, and they also wanted to wipe us out physically. We have both aspects. So we find that in Parsis B'Shalach, right there, it was exer against the goof, the physical thing, right? We see that Moshe lifted up his hands, and then we were, it says over there in B'Shalach, and then we were victorious. When Moshe put down his hands, we were not. So therefore, what does it say over there? Ki yad al kes kam milchama lashem be'amalek. Therefore, what does it say in the Psukim over there in B'Shalach? It was a milchama lashem. Why? Because that describes the war against the goof, physical war. Physical, our goof, we said, and that's in Hashem's hands. So therefore, the Torah describes it very nicely, according to what we said. It's a milchama lashem. It's a war against God, because it was a war against our goof. That's the description over there in Parshat B'Shalach. Whereas in Parshat Ki Tzeitzei, when we read from Parshat Zachor, it says, Asher lo yarei Elohim. Right? It didn't fear God. That was the spiritual aspect of it. Or the Malcham against the spirituality, and therefore it says, Machotim Ched Zecher Amalek, HaMalchama is yours. Machotim Ched, you have to wipe it out. It wasn't Milchama Lashem here, it's your Milchama. Machotim Ched, you have to wipe out Amalek, because that's the Gezerah against the Ruach. So now we can understand, therefore, if you just read the Parsha of B'Shalach, it's you're not Yotzi, because it's not the same. It's only over there dealing with the physical. So it's interesting, because based on what we said, you know, that the physical, our goofs, that belongs to Hashem. That's Hashem's responsibility, and we have to have a bitachon. We have to trust Hashem. Therefore, when it comes to our goof, because that's His department, so to speak, can't trust Him, as it were. We have to trust ourselves. That's when it comes to the Ruchnias. It's up to us, as we said before, Kol Bidei Shemayim Chus Meir Shemayim, Yir Shemayim, that's our domain. Right? But unfortunately, you know, you see very often that people deal with it the opposite way. You know, when it comes to Parnasa, when it comes to physicality, yeah, they work extra hours, and you know, putting a tremendous amount of efforts when it comes to their physical being. Right? When it comes to spirituality, it's, Yitzhashem, Bezrat Hashem. Why don't you learn more Torah? Yitzhashem, one day, you know, maybe I'll attend the Shir. There's everything's Bezrat Hashem. It's totally the opposite. When it comes to spiritual, it shouldn't be Bezrat Hashem. You have to do it yourself. You have to go out fighting. Right? That's your neshama. Your goof, that when you're parnasa, your physical, that's what you can turn to Hashem. So that's His department. That's the building. The Maisa brings this out nicely. Once, I think, I didn't see it inside in a while, I think it was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, who was once visiting this Balabas. He came to a small town, and he didn't recognize who he was. And so this Balabas came up to him, and he says, Oh, Rebbe, says, tell me. He says, you know, I'm glad you came to visit us here, because, you know, we need a shochet. And by any chance, do you know how to shecht? And he says, yeah, I happen to know. He says, oh, great, you know, can you shecht for us? So, I don't remember he did or he didn't. Not important. But, a day or so later, Rabbi Yisrael turns to this man and says, tell me something. I want to know, would you be able to lend me $1,000, please? Okay, it wasn't probably dollars or rubles, whatever it was. But, yeah, right, can you lend me $1,000? So, the man turns to him and says, excuse me, $1,000? You want me to lend you? How can I lend you $1,000? So he says, why not? He says, I don't know you. You just came here, you know, the other day. You just arrived here. I don't know you from Adam. And here you are. You want me $1,000? Yeah, I don't know. You don't have any guarantors, no nothing. How am I supposed to trust you? How can I give you $1,000? So, Rabbi Yisrael said, your ears should hear what your mouth is saying. Right? When it came to Shechita, right, your neshama, right, your olam haba, right, where I could be, you know, serving you a treif if I don't know how to shech properly. There, oh, Rebbe, you know, can you shech for a, how do you know Bechlali when I'm a Rebbe? Right, you know what they say, what does it mean when a person has a beard down to here? You know what that means? It means he has a beard down to here. That's what I mean. Oh, Rebbe. All of a sudden he's a Rebbe. He doesn't know him. He said himself he doesn't know him. He's a Rebbe. Can you chef for us? You know, chef. Maybe he doesn't know how to chef. Maybe he thinks he knows how to chef. Maybe he doesn't have kabbalah. No. Oh, yeah, okay, you could chef for us. Then I'm okay. You don't need to know. You don't need references. You know, that's okay, the chef, right? When it comes to physical, when it comes to the money, oh, hey, I don't trust you. How do I know? You're going to pay me back. I don't know who you are. Like we said, when it comes, it's totally opposite. When it comes to spirituality, that's when you have to care. Well, otherwise, you can put your trust in the Kodesh Baruch Hu when it comes to the physical things. So the opposite. I saw not so long ago an interesting story, also from Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik and the Brisker Rav, just the beginning of the Second World War. So he was a tremendous, tremendous Baal Bitach, and he wanted to live this idea that the physical, everything to the physical, that's, as we said, that's the building, that's in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands. And he trusted the Kodesh Baruch Hu 100% in all physical matters. So the war began, and there's threat from the Nazis, and his family tried to convince him that they should run away into the forest. So at first, he didn't do any hishtadlis, any effort when it came to physical things. But at this point, for whatever reason, he agreed, fine, I agree to go into the forest to run away, but only under one condition, that we don't bring any provisions, no food. No food, we're going into the forest, Hashem will take care of us. I don't want to do any, hishtadlis on my part. We're going in without any food. And we're talking about not only Peres himself, with his whole family, kids, grandchildren, they're all going together, no food. I said, okay, well, they were just happy to run away, that, he agreed at least on that. So they all went together and into the forest. So the next day, they're traveling, and they're starting to get hungry, right? They didn't bring any food with them. And the day's going along, and they're, hiking, and they have no food, and they have kids. All of a sudden, a guy appears, another Yid, comes with two big baskets, he's schlepping, and he's in the forest. So they meet up with Soloveitchik, and they say, Shalom Aleichem, talking. So the guy says to him, tell me, you wouldn't be hungry by any chance, do you have enough food with you, whatever? So the Rav says, as a matter of fact, we don't only have too much food with us. And he says, oh, great. Here, take these. I said, what's this? Well, these two baskets are filled with lots of food that I made a chasana and had it all planned out, invitations, everything, but then the war broke out and this, and we had to cancel the chasana. We had all this food. I didn't want it to go to waste, Baal Tashchis. So I just took the food, ate what we could, and then I just was schlepping the food. I was looking for somebody that maybe could use the food. Would you like some? So, would you like to have it? Because I'm not going to eat it. So he says, oh, wonderful. So he checked out the kashrus, make sure it was mahadra and everything. Everything was good. And he gave them the baskets of food, and they all were ready to dig in. However, the Brisker Rav said, not so fast. He says, you have to promise me that everybody's going to take their portion, and everybody must finish their portion. Everything. I don't want to leave anything over, because I want to trust in Hashem that tomorrow, somehow Hashem will bring us food again. I don't want to save anything for tomorrow. I want to go into tomorrow from scratch, trusting in Hashem. So that was a big nisayan, but okay, the Rav says, the Rav says. So they took their food and they ate it up, and that was the end of that. So, next day, here they are, without food again, and they're hiking through the forest, getting hungry as the day progresses. Sure enough, all of a sudden, who comes? Another fellow, another Yid, carrying a couple of baskets. Says, oh, Shalom Aleichem, schmoozing. The person says to the Rav, tell me something, you wouldn't happen to need some food, would you? Because I have made a chasana. And the chasana got mevatled, and I have these baskets of food, and I don't know what to do with it, so perhaps you'll take it, and then maybe you could use it. So again, the Rav, checked out the kashrus, everything's fine, and they, the Rav told him again, everybody has to eat everything, we're not leaving anything over, fine, okay. And they started distributing the courses. However, The Rav noticed something suspicious. He says, what? No dessert? No dessert? First course, second course, main course, everything. No dessert. So he says, huh? No dessert. That's no good. He started getting upset. So people are looking at him, this family's looking at him. It's not like the brisket Rav to be upset. There's no dessert. I mean, you're lucky enough to get, you know, second day in a row, you know, for a whole chasana meal. And so what? So he's missing the baked apple. And I mean, so what is he upset about? So, but he was, you can see in his face, he was bothered. There's no dessert. Okay, so what's no dessert? So he got up and very angrily, and he says, I want to know who left over food from yesterday's meal. Nobody says anything. Quiet. Says, no. Who left over food from yesterday's meal? I want to know right now. Still, nobody say anything. Again, he screams out, who left over food from yesterday? All of a sudden, you hear one of his grandchildren, and a boy starts like crying. So he says, Moishala, come over here. So he says, why are you crying? So he says, I left over food. Says, ah. Says, get over here. Turns the boy around. He goes, I want you to tell everybody here exactly what you left over from yesterday's meal. So he says, I left over the dessert because I was worried that, you know, we're not going to have food for today. So I left the dessert over. He says, thank you, Moishi. You can go back. So he said, you see, we didn't have complete emunah in Kosh Baruch Hu. We didn't trust him that he's going to bring dessert. So in turn, why Hashem didn't bring dessert today? So Baruch Hashem, they managed with their tremendous emunah and bitachon, they got through the war. They came, eventually settled here in Eretz Yisrael. But that's the point, once again, that when it comes to physical things, parnasa, whatever, that's when you have to have bitachon, trust in Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the more trust you have, the more Hashem comes through. And unfortunately, like we said, people switch things around. When it comes to the physical, they work their guts out. When it comes to spirituality, they're putting a time aside for learning, and their mitzvahs, and their diktuk and mitzvahs, and etc. Then it's like, Bezrat Hashem, you have a seder, it'll be okay. And they're not so interested. It should be totally the opposite. Like we said, the goof, that's the building, that's in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands, and it's the ruchnius that's in our hands. Just like to conclude, one last taich from Gemara in Shabbos. It's a famous Chanukah drasha that everybody likes to talk about. Right, that there's two mimrim by Rav Tanchum in this Gemara back to back, and the darshanim like to explain what's the connection between the two. So what's the two parts? The first part of the Gemara says that Ner Chanukah Shenicha Lamala Me'esrimam Apsula, that if you put the Ner Chanukah higher than 20 amas high, so that's puzzle. And then the Gemara continues, Rav Tanchum gives another mimer and says, by the brothers Yosef, Habor Reik, it's Ein Bo Mayim, says in the Torah, that they threw Yosef into the pit, his brothers, and it was an empty bore, it was an empty pit, there was no water, so they darshan out, there was no water, but there were snakes and scorpions, Nechashim and Akrab. So the darshanim have a field day here. I like to say, what is the connection between it? What's the connection between Ner Chanukah higher than 20 amas and the throwing Yosef into a pit with snakes and scorpions? So I was thinking, based on what we said, another possible idea. And that is to teach us this point that we mentioned tonight. And that is, when it comes to Ruchnius, which is Chanukah, we said, is the Ruchnius holiday, comes to Ruchnius, right, we have to realize that that's in our hands. And therefore, Ner Chanukah, Shenicha L'mali Me'esrimam, you put it too high, you put it in the Shemayim, that's no good, right? Ruchnius is not in the Shemayim. Ruchnius is down here. It's up to us. We have to put in the effort when it comes to Ruchnius. Therefore, the candles, which represent the Torah, that you put it high in the Shemayim, higher in 20 Yamas, that's possible. That's no good. It has to be down here. That's us. Whereas, by the brothers Yosef, right, they threw him into the pit of snakes and scorpions. So they ask, isn't that going to kill them or whatever? So there's an Orachaim, a very difficult Orachaim, but we're not going to get into the the ins and outs of the Arachayim, but he says that why they threw him into a pit of snakes and scorpions, because, similar to what we said, that the goof, he said, that's in the hands of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we'll throw him in the pit, and they'll see if the snakes and scorpions kill him. Okay, then that's he's meant to die. If the snakes and scorpions are not going to kill him, then he's meant to live. That's the goof. That's in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands. So much we see this this idea, this Gemara, the connection, that the Ruchnius is in our hands, therefore if it's too high, Lamal Mias Imam Apsula. Whereas the Bor Reikim Bomayim, that represents the other idea of how the goof, that's in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands. So we have to take this to heart. Remember that the effort, our main effort here in this world, have to be in Ruchnius Digin Yanim. That's where we have to put our effort. That's in our hands. Right, that's for us. Whereas the building, our body, that's in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's hand. That's where we have to trust Hashem in our parnasa, in our life, our health. That's what we have to daven for. That's where the tefillos go. But when it comes to the ruchni, that's what we have to get up and do. Get up and fight. We have to fight the war against the Yetzer Hara. That's in our hands. Yes, Hashem, if we do this, Kodesh Baruch Hu should see our efforts and crown them with tremendous success, and bring the ultimate of success, and that is the coming of the Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehirah bimei.